This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Stylefile, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. Now, as 2017 is coming to an end, this week we have a special best-of episode where we take a look back at some of our favorite moments we've had on the show this year.
I will never stray from not having heritage as an inspiration.
And then I let my customers try. They're very comfortable. Your shoe so high, but the leg not pain. What's your secret?
After that, Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Elle Malaysia, ushers us into the new year with a trend that will guarantee you to go out with a bang.
So, I mean, dresses have gotten sparklier. It's all about the high-octane glamour. There's plenty of glitter, sequins, and, you know, rich jewel tones. Mm-hmm. And they come in, like, different lengths, different silhouettes. There are looser cuts.
But first up, let's take a look at our five favourite moments on Stylefile this year. Has been quite an eventful year for fashion. Michael Kors bought off the luxury shoe brand Jimmy Choo, Rihanna launched her beauty line Fenty Beauty, and millennial pink seemed to be everywhere from the runways to our Instagram feeds. Now, one thing that didn't fall short for sure was the amount of talents that have made a name for themselves in the fashion scene. We've met and interviewed countless of talented designers this year, and here is our top 5 memorable picks of the year 2017. First up is one of Malaysia's renowned shoe designer, Christy Ng. Christy made her dream of becoming a shoe designer a reality after realizing where her true passion lies. With no background in shoe designing, she went to pursue a career in shoe design with full determination and a solution to one of the biggest problems in women's footwear. Today, she runs an online store coupled with multiple physical all across the region. Let's hear about her success and her passion for shoes.
I love shoes, and shoe design, fashion design, is actually a science. It's as much as a science and an art, you know. They're actually very, because I'm a science student, so I'm trained in a very scientific manner, you know. When I approach a problem, I approach it from a very, very different angle. So what I did was, we designed a set of shoe lasts which was wider than the normal lasts in out there. And then from there, and then I tested the shoe, and then I have very huge bunions coupled with my ballet. I did ballet last time, so my leg, I really got dark feet. So I said, wow, this one very comfortable. When I increase the girth of my shoe last,
right,
the shoes become super comfortable, and they still look very sleek and they look very sexy. So I said, okay, let's do this. So I did some, and then I let my customers try. They're like, hey, very comfortable, your shoe so high, but the leg not pain. What's your secret? So actually, the secret is in the width of the last, you know, and the platform as well. And I realized that if I properly match the platform and the heel in the right proportions, the shoe is super comfortable.
Was it difficult then, you know, coping with the large amounts of orders in the beginning?
Everything is difficult. The greater the dream, the more difficult to get there. So it was never easy, but we just do it lah, you know. Just do it. Whatever comes, stay focused. And I think it's a lot of discipline, a lot of conditioning of your mind, how you want to handle a difficult problem. So I think the big trigger came when I won the Lion's Mane Bizmart Challenge. Mm-hmm. So I used my seed money to build my current website, which you can see now. And that is a gradual process. You know, I did my time. I put in the hours, you know. I don't believe you can be great if you don't sacrifice time, effort, and hours. So a lot of sweat, a lot of hardship. There's no shortcut. Step by step all the way.
Our second designer, we have the lovely Dorothy Jen Ng, professional certified gemologist and founder of Fru Fru Fine Jewelry. Dorothy started her jewelry business less than 3 years ago with a love for precious stones and European fine jewelry, which represents the family's legacy for nearly 70 years. Being from the third generation of her family business, her passion runs in the family. When she was younger, she spent time watching her father on the bench handcrafting the finest jewelry, which sparked her obsession with gemstones. If you don't know how to choose the right gemstone or diamond, now have a listen to this. I definitely learned a lot about choosing gemstones and diamonds.
So a lot of people think that gemstones, for instance, they would come to me and ask me about questions like, oh, ruby, why ruby is so expensive? I could see somewhere else it's like so cheap and things like that. But to me, actually, ruby is the most precious colored gems of all. And it could be the king of all colored gemstones. Mm-hmm. So how can a king be a cheap thing? So a lot of times, the rubies that they encounter, which are cheap, is usually glass filled. Mm. Inside the ruby is maybe 70% to 80% glass instead of the real natural ruby. While the other example that I can give to you, it's about the diamonds, right?
Okay.
So a lot of people, they actually think that diamonds, only the DEF color range is the quality diamond. Actually, to me, or to Fru Fru at least, we think that diamonds color is actually about the personal preference.
Mm.
A diamond can be yellowish tinge. It doesn't mean that it's bad. It really doesn't mean that it's bad. You don't pay as much for a yellowish diamond compared to a diamond which is white in color. The reason why I say it's not a bad stone, it's because the sparkle is not affected by the color, actually. The sparkle is only largely affected by the cut of the stone.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you get a very, very excellent cut diamonds, even though the diamond is naturally it's yellow, it still sparkles and shines and speaks to you.
But it depends on what crown you fit into, right?
Yeah, correct. It also depends on what kind of casing you're using. Mm-hmm. If let's say you're using a yellow gold or rose gold casing to the diamond, you don't really have to get a DEF colored diamond because it would be a waste. A white diamond being set in yellow or rose gold, visually it will look yellowish or, you know, with some sort of tinge in it.
And now we have Malaysian-born jeweller Jan Low, who founded Wanderlust & Co. in Melbourne, making conceptual jewelries, each one revolving around its own unique idea. If you're familiar with the brand, you'd notice all the supermodels and it girls sporting layers of their coveted jewellery, from body chains to chokers. Even Gigi Hadid, Olivia Culpo, as well as Romy Street has been spotted wearing Wanderlust items. Today, over 400 wholesale stockists worldwide, including Nordstrom's, Birchbox and Forever 21, the brand have managed to find their market, calling them with the hashtag WCO Girl Gang.
I think what we try to do is, today's digital girl, today's female, she has a lot of options and she wears many different hats. So it's about catering to, you know, what she's feeling for the day, you know. And for all the different collections, what we try to do is stay true to the ethos of the brand, which always has been about creating a luxe designer looking piece at an affordable price point for the girl, and then taking the different key trends that we're seeing for the month and doing those in different capsules.
You've built quite a sense of community around your jewellery. So you promote your hashtag WCO Girl Gang and even have a Girl Gang capsule collection.
Mm.
So is this something you actively want to inculcate?
So the Girl Gang thing actually is funny because, to be super honest, our audience, our girl gang, our customers, the influencers who wear our product, the media who love our product and write about us, they were the ones who inspired me, inspired my team. We saw that how they would take, you know, our products, our pieces, the inspiration we have from collection to collection, how they were styling it and the energy around the, you know, WCO Girl Gang or the hashtag WCO Girl Gang. And that was what inspired us to then say, hey, you know, this energy of this girl who doesn't have all the answers, who's unafraid, despite the fact that she doesn't have all the answers, who just wants to have fun and just wants to take life on, you know, this is a beautiful energy to sort of encapsulate and turn into a high summer collection, you know. So the whole thing about the Girl Gang was to celebrate that. It's to celebrate solidarity. It's to celebrate the fact that, hey, you know, I've got your back, you know, like no matter what it is, like whatever it is you're going through, like if you need something, you just need to holler and I'm there for you. And we have fun together in this thing we call life.
There's a saying that goes, all that glitters is not gold.
However, that is not the case for the gorgeous sparkling purses and minaudiers that the Back Atelier has to offer. Our fourth favorite designer is none other than a self-proclaimed lover of all things shiny, its founder Melissa Sin, who fell in love with bags since receiving her first Swarovski crystal clutch from her mother for her senior prom. The Bag Atelier boasts authentic and stunning Swarovski crystals, crafted into fun and unique designs perfect for standing out at any event. For Melissa, the label represents empowerment to women and girls from every kind of background.
My mom loves knickknacks, all sorts of knickknacks. I remember she has all sorts of big chunky earrings.
Mm-hmm. Statement earrings,
correct,
right?
And necklaces. And she loves big belts, bold prints, floral prints. And I think even though trends go in and out, statement pieces never go. Okay. So even today, when I dress myself up, I tend to go easy on my dresses or my pieces, but I'll go a little bit heavier on my fingers, my earrings, or even just go with a simple statement necklace. Mm-hmm. So yes, my mom's fashion statements back then is still quite a bit of a big trend now.
Now let's go into your designs and inspirations. Now, what kind of woman uses the Bag Atelier?
Mm-hmm. I think fun and creative. I think a lot of people actually think Cristo Monaldo is something very expensive, luxurious, premium. But what essentially we are doing here at the Bag Atelier is to make it an affordable luxury. And luxury doesn't mean luxury in price point, but luxury in the freedom that you can use your creativity and put them into a hand-draw statement piece to what you like based on your inspirations or your ideas or even simple sketches.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you say that, you know, you've injected a lot of your personal styles, you know, and taste into your bags?
Yes, definitely.
Suggest?
Like you can see, I'm really bling all over. And even little things in my daily OOTDs,
right.
I tend to put a lot on sparkles, rhinestones, on my accessories. And that is something that I really relate closely with the Bag Atelier. And with the Bag Atelier, I always want to steer away from the traditional one-tone, monotone clutch. So you can now put like pop art, your classic Minaldos, even your personalized initials in different contrasting colors into your statement piece.
And for our final favorite is a designer that needs no introduction as she has been serving in the Malaysian fashion industry for nearly three decades. Hailing from Kuching, Sarawak, Datuk Tom Abang Salfi is best known for her heritage-inspired designs which she often draws from Sarawakan culture and tradition. This year, she made an epic comeback when she showcased at the Zalora 2017 fashion show with a colorful collection that left everyone in awe.
My design is heritage inspired, but also heritage inspired in terms of I don't use a lot of modern fastenings, like zips, buttons and all that. It's a lot of tying. So it fits every sizes actually, because the wearer makes the statement. So that's where I've gone that journey for the last 30 years. This year, because I've always been inspired by the community in Sarawak and also the carvings, the colours of what is in Malaysia. So I've actually liked the bright colours of yellows and limes and orange and turquoise were inspired by the kingfisher that was always coming into the garden. Because I'm very much into bright colours, because I think if you can't be interesting, at least be colourful. And I think there's enough blacks and greys which other people have done in other parts of the world. So I thought like we must always keep the colours of Malaysia, so because at least when you actually wear something colourful, it gives a lift to anyone's life actually. So we include things like that in our collection, because I use the latest colours of 2017, but I will never stray from not having heritage as an inspiration, because you know the concept of wearing tight clothes is what is actually beautiful is actually not right to me. That's my philosophy, because when you actually have a little gift, when you wear something, it is actually so much more beautiful. That's why every designers now are not really into constricted clothes. I mean, the Hervé-Léger eras are over. The Versace tight-fitting bandage things are not really the coolest thing to wear. Now it's like somebody who's very slim will be wearing two sizes bigger because it's the way to go.
It's more comfortable.
And I've always done that in all my designs. So then I realized, actually, at the end of the day, every designers who actually design things thinking of the form of the human being and what is in their head actually have all gone in the right direction, where they actually want the clients to look elegant but also comfortable at the same time. And to me, part of the journey of my fashion is actually to allow people to actually not just thinking of the commercial side of the business,
right,
but to actually have a lifestyle where the clothes actually give them the journey through their lives, like through their pregnancies, through the times when they are thin, through the times when they're older, and to actually have vintage later on. That's what it's all about.
Stay tuned, because after this, Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Elle Malaysia, dazzles us with sequins and glitters this New Year's Eve with party dresses. But before that, here's one of my favourite songs I played this year. It's Doo Wop, That Thing by Lauryn Hill, played at Tory Burch's Fall Winter 2017 in New York. Have a listen and let me know what you think by tweeting me at AdelineCSK and BFM Radio. This is Style File and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 is Adeline Chung on Stylefile. Earlier, we recounted some of our memorable stories we've had on the show this year, including Thomas Bang Saofi, Jan Low, Melissa Sin, Christy Ng, and Dorothy Jen Ng. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can download our BFM app on Google Play or the App Store. And now, Florence Song, senior fashion writer at Elle Malaysia, takes us into the new year with fun styles on an evening staple, the party dress. And this week, we are talking about a New Year trend, party dresses. Now, party dresses, of course, take their inspirations from the height of the disco era in the 1970s. And thanks to a penchant for creativity and expression, that decade saw the birth of many trends that continue to influence fashion today. So, Florence, what do you think?
Party dresses, I mean, they're huge in, you know, the whole disco era, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. But it also brings to mind that one time when everyone was wearing skin-tight, short, mini dresses to the club, like, you know, in the early 2000s.
How do you dance in it?
Exactly. It's all about that bandage dress silhouette, you know, made popular by Hervé.
Yeah, it's nice to look, but I'm not sure if it's super comfortable for you to dance around in the clubs.
I guess people wear it to look good and less about the comfort. I mean, fashion is pain after all, to some extent.
No pain, no gain.
Exactly. So, I mean, dresses have gotten sparklier. It's all about the high-octane glamour. There's plenty of glitter, sequins, and, you know, rich jewel tones. Mm-hmm. And they're not just confined to just tight, figure-hugging mini dresses for now. I mean, these kind of party dresses, they come in, like, different lengths, different silhouettes. They're looser cuts. They're more forgiving. There's longer hemlines. There's the one that cuts right at the knee or, you know, the cuts are floatier and they look more elegant and more grown up.
Mm-hmm. So what are the best runways you've seen so far?
Best runways, Anthony Vaccarello for Saint Laurent was, you know, his collection was practically an homage to the nightclubs of the 2000s. So he gave us really dramatic one-shoulder mini dresses, you know, alongside leather rush dresses. So those are all like really interesting, very modern contemporary kind of party dresses to see. And then Isabel Marant, they had some really statement dresses on the runway too. There was this one very nice silver metallic dress with ruching right down the center of the dress that she paired with slouchy knee-high boots and, you know, a paisley print coat. So that's really interesting. And then, you know, there's another one, a gold version that she paired with a tuxedo blazer. So you can really dress it up and, you know, you can layer it to look more current. It doesn't just have to be the dress itself.
So why do you think the disco era is back?
I think, you know, designers look towards the past and they try to get, you know, little bits of inspiration to make it more current. So it's all about, you know, taking elements from the past and making it more modern for us right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I know disco dresses or party dresses are all about the sequins and neon colors,
yes,
right, for New Year's Eve. So it's super crowded. You just want people to just spot you in a crowd mm-hmm. and make you stand out at your New Year's Eve party. Mm-hmm. Now, so when we're talking about why the 70s trend and not the other era?
It's a mixture of a few different eras. So there's definitely elements from the 70s that they take and they translate into the dresses here. Mm-hmm. But obviously also they take some elements from the 90s and make it more current as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess it's suitable for the fall winter season right now because, I mean, it's all darker, it's moodier, you know, the materials are more luxe, the colours are richer, yeah.
But I think if you're going to have a New Year's Eve party, it's great to have theme party, mm-hmm. right? That's when you can dress up. You know, get 70s or 80s. Exactly. You know, for 70s, you can have the Farrah Fawcett kind of hair, yeah. and then have that kind of makeup and dress like her as well.
Yeah, and it's all about standing out for now because yeah. I mean, festive season, everyone's trying to outdo each other with the glitter and
yeah,
the
I don't
sequins.
Understand. Why do you think so?
I guess everyone's just in a festive mood, and you know, glitter is just part of it, which I personally really enjoy.
So, what are you gonna wear for New Year's Eve this year?
Oh, it definitely be something really glittery and really sparkly. I am not ashamed of that.
Have you bought your outfit
No,
yet?
I'm still on the lookout right now because there's too many options and I can't really choose.
So that was Florence Song of Al Malaysia with our trend for this week, party dresses, which brings us to the end of this week's show. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile and give us some love on our Facebook page, Stylefile on BFM 89.9. Now you can catch the repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. or listen to us on the go if you're a busy bee by downloading our BFM app. It is available on Google Play and the App Store. And now I'm going to leave you with another of my favorite tracks I played this year. It's Mowgli's Road by Marina and the Diamonds, played at West Gardens for Winter 2017 in New York. I wish you all a very happy new year. This has been Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.